For today, my niece has twins. It's in our family. Twin nieces in our family.
And what are their names again?
I couldn't pronounce their Kinkanese. My mom can. My mom can tell you.
And they were really the ones that were the cause behind this whole thing then.
That's why that incredible area, that particular area in Chino Indian Village, is theirs. Mm-hmm. Yet they never got.
Is that behind Sally's Kitchen there? Or
that's Sally's Kitchen, right next to it. Mm-hmm. That totem pole's up there?
Right,
that's
right.
That's the one.
And now that belongs to
Outside Council Incorporated. Corporation.
Well, among my people, even though I lost it, my people from all over, especially the old-timer, they're talking about what I've done. I don't hold my head down every time I walk around in Juneau. I hold my head up. I just like long time ago, we used to spend money. We used to bear our uncles. I figured the money I spent trying to get my tribal place, I figured I spend it for the grave. I'm really proud of it, you know. I spent that $4,000, which I spent. It's just like I buried. And the people claims it today. It's just nothing in my eyes. I could step all over any time I wanted. They're nothing. The people knows it too, from all over.
They come from different places.
From
whenever
different
we
area.
Walk, any community we go to, we're just stepping off the boat and they see us coming. The beaches come full, they're running. Come on, eat with us. Come on,
I'm always invited.
You're proud of what you've done. Come on, come on.
At the area, but
we
not
eat.
In Juneau.
We can eat for days nonstop, from house to house to house to loop us. Every community we go to.
They know.
And they're not going to necessarily care about the heritage.
No.
It's going to be all gone. And I see this, and I saw it for years as I was boarding school raised when I was a little girl. My house burned, and I lost my dad, and I was sent away to Indian boarding schools. I attended boarding schools in Oregon. That's where I was mostly went to school. And I requested return and met my sister for the first time in how many years. We were small, yet she recognized me right off the bat. Not right off the bat, she took a time staring at me. And that nurse there says, "You look familiar. Were you here before?" I says, "No, I'm back in Alaska. I wrote to BIA and I got a transfer." "Well, there's somebody here that looks like you." I said, "Yes, I have a sister, Esther. Does she know you're here?" I says, "No, I didn't even know it was approved. Last minute it was approved, and they told me in the middle of the night to pack my bags from Chamorro, Oregon, that I was coming back to Alaska, and I thought they were just playing a joke on me. And all my clothes, I even left it behind. I got nothing but what I got on my back. So just sit there, don't make any noise. She's coming. She works for me. She's a nurse's aide. So she came up there to give me my temperature, to check my blood pressure, and she kept staring at me. And pretty soon, she never said a word, she went and started digging the tissue papers out of her feet. And she handed me a wad of tissue paper, and she grabbed me and started to cry. And she knew who I was. Mm. So it's why when I came back from these boarding schools and I come back home, I begin to ask, "Hey, where do we own?" I got letters I wrote to congressmen. I got all the copies. "My people told me we owned lands, but they won't tell me where. I want to look at the maps. I want to see." "Oh, we don't know. No such map." "Well, I thought we owned all over here." "I don't know." I went to BIA. I wrote letters to the area director. He tells me he don't know, he got no charts, no maps. I said, "Sure, it was surveyed long time ago. It's called placer mining deeds. That's all I know." And this is before I was aware of this chart here, at the Rio Auk area. And they kept everything hidden from me, the state, the federal government, the city. And I began to ask questions. This is where my mother began to talk to me. I was the only one among the five girls began to ask, "How come, Mom, we got nothing left?" So when they had a hearing in the Juneau Indian Village, I took my deed, old deeds of 1913, survey deeds, and I went there to a hearing. I had pictures of the Auk villages from far back as I could find, all enlarged. I got them all up to date from way back. I came there to testify. And sitting alongside George Gufferson, he was a trustee for the lands, he was issuing deeds, was a field solicitor, was the area solicitor, Richard Bradley. And he, when my turn came to testify for my grounds, the area that was surveyed, I had papers, pictures. They motioned for the tape recorder to be turned off. They motioned to the stenographer to stop writing. Mrs. Wallace, Mr. Bradley says to me, I'm going to advise you not to testify for your own good. I said, well, this is the purpose of the hearing. Mrs. Wallace, I'm going to advise you not to say a word. Do not testify. I said, why? Mrs. Wallace, I'm going to caution you not to say a word. I turned to Mr. Gufferson. Mr. Gufferson, I have just one question to ask. Don't answer, the solicitor told him. I said, I'm not talking to you, Mr. Bradley. I'm talking to this gentleman here who represents federal government. I have a right to ask this question. But Mr. Gufferson looked down. I asked him, isn't it true that you cannot sell, trade, or give away any lands without the approval of a Secretary of the Interior? Don't answer that, the solicitor told me. I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking to Mr. Gufferson. I rephrased the same wording three times, and finally I leaned over this way, and Mr. Gufferson turned his back to Richard Bradley, too. Both of us turned our back to him. Isn't it true, I asked him again, you cannot sell, trade, or give away any land without the approval of the Secretary of Interior? Yes, he said to me. That Richard Bradley, he threw his chair back. It hit the wall in the AMB hall. He jumped up in the air in front of everybody. Everybody's there. He slammed his hand right, missed my nose in front of me. Hard as he could, he came down. Mrs. Wallace, you done it! Now you done it! Mrs. Wallace, the BIA is going to get in touch with you! And he slammed, no more. I can't talk no more. I got up. He had to hold me all night, shaking. So I went up to the Bureau of Indian Affairs and I took Marie Imberg and him. I asked the same questions, where's the charts and where's the maps, the surveys? They said they don't know, but I got deed that says it was. They took copies of it, but that's all. Then I wrote letters to my congressman. Where do we own? According to your records, I heard Dave Wallace testified. I got an answer. I got them copies today in my trunk. My letters I wrote and letters I got back. They don't know. For me to talk to the AMB and to the corporations, but to persevere, he told me, that's all. Well, then I got cornered by the same guy, the solicitor, in the federal building, because I kept running back there for help. And he told me in the corner, God, I heard they whispering to this other guy, she wrote to the congressmen. God, he said, the other guy, they both come to me, Charles Jones and Richard Bradley. Do you know that you're going to be in trouble? They're going to make trouble for you, these congressmen. And you're writing letters to them. Don't do it anymore. Okay? But I kept it up. Then I went back up to the, I decided to use a BIA employee this time to help me. I got Johnny Hope, the tribal operation officer. He took me up to Richard Bradley's office. And Richard Bradley was so belligerent with me. He says, I can't defend my lands. What you gonna do with it if you get it? the communists and everything is going to overrun you. And we began to talk, and pretty soon Johnny Hope began to see that this Richard Bradley was really going after me. So he excused himself. He didn't protect me. He didn't say, hey, stop this. He got up and walked out and left me with Richard Bradley. And there we began to talk. And I embarrassed him more, Richard Bradley, by asking him questions. And pretty soon I trapped him. He began to talk my way. Then I asked him, I'm surprised. You're a lawyer, aren't you? Didn't you know anything about this law? And he got further mad at me and just about ordered me out of there. And I got no help from the federal government. I got no help from the congressman. I had no help from my own people. They all turned against me. Even a minister lied, testified under oath against me. Later on, after it was all over, I lost all my dad's properties. I got nothing today. And he came and whispered to me, I'm sorry, George Gustafson said. I took the word of a minister's oath, and I really believed it is gospel truth. So I gave the deeds to these corporations and everything else. You can go to court and you could sue them. That's where it stands today. So I know when my husband and I fight to protect these places, mm-hmm. corporations are going to step in. With the blessings of the state, with the blessings of the federal government, with the blessings of the BIA, with the blessings of the Congress, they do not want to acknowledge tribes. They do not want to acknowledge clans. It's going to destroy the foundations of all the corporations and their power. So we stand alone. We've been threatened. We've been pushed by people. They whisper and they see us. Mm-hmm. Doors are closed just when we walk in. Mm-hmm. We walk into public meetings, big meetings at the city hall. Come on, come on, come on. I kept to join the meeting. Well, no, I don't think I better go. Come on, they're talking about something, Juno Indian Village or something about it. Oh, that caught my ear. I got up and I ran there. Big quarrelings, they're quarreling with, here the city council is all sitting. All the people standing up yelling, hollering and quarreling with them. Pretty soon I walked in and Roy Paradovich spotted me. He knows who I am. And that, what's his name, this other guy? You know him real well too. Well, both of them came to me. Come on, come on, sit up in front. Oh God, we're glad to see you. What happened? What happened? I kept asking them. They want to tell me. You run up there and see if there's a seat available. If there is, tell them to move off of it. I want her to sit up there in front, Roy Paradovich said. So this guy ran up forward and he whispered to some guy in front and he turned and he looked at me and he nodded and he got up. I was escorted by these two men up forward and I sat. People that were testifying, eyes got big in shock, never uttered one more word, sat down and put their heads down. One by one, sitting down. And the council began to look at one another. What happened? They stopped quarreling. Dead silent, chock full of people standing in the walls, silent. What happened? Virginia Blanchard said. Mrs. Wallace, she caught on, I'm the only one that walked in. What do you say? Mrs. Blanchard, I told her, I just walked into the meeting. I have no idea what's going on. I wish somebody would tell me. No more. Nobody said a word again. Nobody would tell me. Any more testimonies? No more. Mrs. Blanchard looked at me again. Shall we adjourn the meeting? No protest. Make a motion to adjourn the meeting. That's just one meeting I went to. Okay. The people got up to leave silently. They all, just no quarrel, no, just a silent, quiet bunch from all over from the Juneau area was there, marched out. I started to walk off to Mrs. Wallace, Mrs. Wallace, Mrs. Blanchard said to me, wait, wait. So I waited there and I stood by Roy. What happened? Who are you? I told her, I'm Melba Walsh. No, no. Who are you? I said, I'm Mrs. Wallace. No, she said, I know you're something. I see you walking here, and it was dead quiet. I know you're something. I'm going to find out. I'm going to investigate, and I'm going to find out who you are. You're something to these people. You won't tell me. And they wouldn't tell her. So I walked out. Pretty soon she come to my house down there by A Street, and she knocks on my door. I got a job for you. I want you to work for me and be my assistant in the State Department. And I want you to be my assistant to help me. She was going to run for some position with the state, that she found out who I am and that I come from the royal house of the Ox, called Dipper House. We still own it to this day. We still have a deed and a title to that land or that house in Junior Indian Village. So she found out who I was. But I turned her down. That's just one meeting that I went to. Another meeting they had, they're hearing land claims in the governor's office in the Capitol building. So I took John Martin with me and Mrs. Carl Nelson, the woman, my husband. We walked into this big meeting, and they had big long tables, and they had representatives from way up north too, not only Alaska area, but way up north. And they were all meeting and meeting. They took one look at me and began to whisper. And I stood up ready to testify, my turn, you know, testify, listen. Pretty soon I hear mumbling. Closed. We closed this meeting for any public hearing. This is no longer a public hearing. Mrs. Wallace, you cannot say a word. We so pass, so dear. And even the Eskimo and Allie were looking at one another. What happened? They don't even know you. They didn't even have a chance to say a word or vote, nothing. Pretty soon this guy, he's a Simpson, don't even have a right to talk about this area or even be in our clan claims. He stood up. You heard the verdict? Out. Come on. Open the door. Out. So we look at each other. We begin to talk among ourselves. Come on, get out. Ordered out. So we got up and we walked out slowly. And pretty soon this Aleut man or Eskimo man come running out. Don't move. Don't go. Stand there. And he went back. He ran back in that meeting and you could hear shouting. They were calling in there. And pretty soon he came back out, maybe 1 hour later. We passed it that you can come in. But we cannot pass it for you to testify. You can just sit, but don't make any noise. They let us back in there, and we weren't allowed to speak, so we just went on home. So you could see what they done. Yeah. What I'm saying here is powerful things that I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm told by my lawyers, valuable pieces of legal papers I have are dynamite. The letters I received from the townsite trustees are dynamite. The letters that were written against us from all the corporations are dynamite. It shows conspiracy. That's the exact word it typed up by the lawyer to us. It shows conspiracy to take things away from you. Mm-hmm. And that's what they've done. So this is the first time in all these years, how many years have been fighting? I'm allowed to tell my story.
A long time now.
Even a man who tried to help me lost his job from the federal government. I want to warn you to be careful. Because he helped me put the book together. I have that book today. My name's on it. Because he helped me, he was called in by the federal government. He held a high position. And he was extremely balled out. And I'm not sure whether that's when he lost his job and he moved from there. So it's extremely dangerous area that we're talking about, but I'd like to tell our story. We don't have much time.
Right.
we'd like to show the area and really tell it. Mm-hmm. And so we really made an effort to be here today.
Well, I really appreciate that. Yeah. I can just tell that you have so much knowledge, and it really seems criminal that mm-hmm. it can't be preserved. And that there's these, you know, this struggle with the people that should be your allies mm-hmm. makes it really, and all I can offer is that I try to record the information on the areas that I'm responsible for so that the true story is known for those areas. Mm-hmm. Because your knowledge is really special. There aren't that many people that can do what you can do.
I can interpret it by law, and I interpret it by trinket, in your direction. Right. And,
Auk Village, for instance, Auk Village itself, out the old Auk Village, mm-hmm. out the road, I pulled together some bits and pieces of information that I had about that area that, you know, are just the scraps that mm-hmm. I was able to get, and you have the whole story. If you'd like, I'd like to give you this. This is a publication that we have, and if you could, it would be really helpful for me if you would go through this again and correct it. And I don't know if you want to talk about it now. We've been going on for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but
it's going to 1:00. You got out for lunch. Yeah.
Because I'd like to, like, Auk Village is an area that's Forest Service, and we'd like to get the true story for Auk Village.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get the true story from you about St. James Bay,
mm-hmm.
because
sure.
there's logging proposed in that area.
And
I would like to know about if there's any, because the archaeologist that was actually responsible for that area is in Sitka, and he doesn't know mm-hmm. the stories about it. So I'd like to get the stories about
it. It's one of
Thunder Bay, Barlow Cove. He knows it all.
One of our area down here on Admiralty Island. I wouldn't give the name, but there is a cannon sitting there today. I could go there tomorrow, and it's all made out of bronze, but I don't want to do it.
Wow.
It's solid bronze. It was a payment for these two guys that were lost. And
payment from the Auk?
No,
or
see, my tribe paid.
The Canadian payment.
Oh, I didn't
the
finish
Canadian
the story
side.
About
oh.
that.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
Oh, I thought that they paid.
No.
They their full payment was the land in Juneau.
Yeah,
my tribe did that
on
my
Indian
side.
Side.
Oh,
say.
And then you paid them back?
No.
Oh.
What happened is, when that sailboat came back to Young's Bay, he heard this sound on a beach.
I'm going to go back.
Hollering.
To that pills,
oh. On the tip of the point, he asked these people, "Who's this hollering?" "Oh, that's Shaga."
Hmm.
"What happened?" "Well, remember the time you told his two nephews to go? He sent his two nephews to tell the other people you weren't coming?" He said, "Yes, they were killed. He's got no one to oar him and to bring him out here to you in their canoe. Will you go get Shaga?" And he brought Shaga to the sailboat, and he ordered big bundles, 10 of them. I don't know how many blankets in that bundle, Hudson Bay blankets.
Mm.
And he lowered it to the canoe to pay Shaga for the lives that were lost to the two same men. Plus, he gave them a bronze cannon. That cannon, this Young's Bay people buried it in a cave. It's still there today. What he's trying to tell you. It's death-like, you know.
And it's still in Young Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. The guy that told the story was another Dipper House people. His name was Philip Joseph. He was my uncle. He come from the Auk House. A lot of people say they're Auks.
The Auk Village.
Yeah.
It's Auk Village story.
They even call my husband's people Auk. The people in the village call themselves Auk because they live here.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we were the original people that came here. We are the original Auks. We were named that way because this lake back there, they used to have these little Auk birds. And it always made noise. This is their sound. Auk! Auk! And pretty soon they says, "Oh, that's Auk people." So we are the original Auk.
Huh.
And he tells the story here is true.
The people came from the Stikine.
Mm-hmm. I wrote stories about Akhenu. I've written stories that I had it published in the paper.
Oh, neat.
Because this people, they call themselves Coons, Mr. and Mrs. Coons.
Oh, Edward and Cecilia.
They made a movie for Forest Service under contract. And he introduced his wife as Princess of the Ox. So I got mad. I went and I wrote a story.
She's from Yucatan, mm-hmm. Right?
I wrote a story about Akhenu. A long time ago, Akhenu was a fort. So our chief there, he got a new name from that story. And this canoe decided to bypass us from Yakutat, not to come into this ask our permission to go through our land. He went by, I'll stop by on my way back. And we had professional men who were, that's their job, they sit in a point far away, they could see, they can identify you, who it is. He already could see this canoe going by without stopping. So when the time came for the same canoe to come back, they came into us. We gave them a feast. And in that feast, that bonfire was going, our chief whispered to his nephew, you go down to the beach and you take this point off their canoe, of their emblems, carved, chop it up, break it up, put it in the fire for them while they're eating. So he built this fire and he put this wood burning. After having a good time eating, they got nice fires going. Pretty soon that Yakutat chief began to recognize it. You know, he told his nephew, that looks like our emblem and they're burning. We go down the canoe and check it. So he went down there and he came back and said, yes, it is. So they got up, they were quarreling. And his Yakutat chief left our Point Akhenu. Then that following spring he came back with canoes were coming into that bay, Yakutat people. And in these canoes they had what they call tina, made out of copper. And he began to quarrel with our chief, you're nothing, nothing, you're just nothing. So he began throwing tina in the water. I'm rich, I can throw it. So our chief, our chief called back, he had this girl who just became a woman in seclusion. At that time, she has a special power. So he brought her, once in her whole life she has that power. He brought her out of seclusion where nobody could see her before, out for the first time. He dressed her up, put the earrings on her. We still have the earrings today. And she began to dance every time we threw Tina in the water. She'd come to the bluff and she's dancing and she'd wiggle her behind. Salmon eggs, salmon is our emblem. She's laying sand, that's to us salmon eggs. She's throwing it in the water. Pretty soon, what's this all floating in the water? So they went and they looked, they discovered the Yakutat people were going to the beach and getting yellow cedar bark and they were tying it. They ran out of tina a long time ago.
Oh.
And it resurfaced. It began to float. And that Yakutat chief began to slide in shame down. And he said, go, hurry up, let's go. But too late. And they began to quarrel again. Pretty soon his Yakutat chief told our chief up there, you just now got rich. You were never rich before. You're new rich. So he said, come on closer. He ordered a big war canoe, the biggest they got, brought to the bow, the tip of that bluff of Port Akhenu and broken. Before he did that, he put two valuable slaves, the most valuable, maybe he kidnapped a chief, or maybe he kidnapped a powerful, rich person from a different tribe. He ordered them powerful, valuable slaves brought, and he turned and put them neck on logs. And he ordered his powerful people among our tribe to break their necks. He killed them. And he threw them in this canoe. And they chopped that canoe up and they threw it down into the water. Come here. From now on, I want you to hear my new name. New Rich. Yishkana. That's a picture of that, our tribal house today.
St. James Bay?
Yeah.
That's
on the west side of
Michigan. I don't know much about it, but that's a Nishkitan's place too. We used to have smokehouses in
smokehouses.
There. Smokehouses. Uh-huh. Mostly they used to smoke seal meat there.
Oh.
Uh-huh. That's what the smokehouse is for. You used to split it, cut it real thin, just like this beef jerky you buy from the store. It's exactly the same thing. In fact, it tastes much better, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Take a seal meat, and you slide it real thin, and then you fried it.
Mm.
And you fried it on its own oil, that seal oil. You half fried it. And then you hang it up and you smoke it for 2 days.
Mm.
And then you put it in a container and fill it up with seal oil.
Mm.
They're good for 2 years. One or 2 years. Every time you get hungry, you just take a meat out of it and chew on it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's delicious. I like it myself. Uh-huh. So that's what they used to do there, because that's a seal country, St. James Bay.
Did they catch fish there and
fish too? Oh, yeah, they get a few fish there, but that's not the real place for fish, you know. That's a real smoking place for seal meat.
Was it on this peninsula here, or was it at the mouth of a stream that they'd have a smokehouse?
At the mouth of the stream, and there was easy to get brown bear. Brown bear was our food too long time ago, and they used to smoke that too. And especially the fat, they used to cook the fat and put it in containers for winter use. Thick fat, some of them fat are about 3 to 4 inches thick, the bear fat.
Wow.
And that was the place, the main place where they used to get it.
Hmm.
And people used to put them things up for parties. And when they give big parties, that's what they use, you know. The bear, brown bear fat and seal meat, dried seal meat, smoked it.
Mm-hmm.
And
so this was a Nishkitan place that was used in the spring or the fall, or?
They usually go there in the fall time.
In the fall.
Uh-huh.
But there wasn't a permanent village there.
No, that's not a permanent. It's just like we.
The weather is probably pretty bad in
there. Yeah.
Smokehouse territory.
Yeah.
Oh, because they need a lot of wind.
Smokehouse, because they dry things there. They,
uh-huh.
They're just owned by certain clans for purpose of putting up food.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a Nishkitan
fall time camp.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to that Akinaru, I didn't finish. The reason I told that story is because the Celia Poon said she was princess of the ox. I put down on the bottom, according to the maternal, they follow the maternal line of the family, and Cecilia Poon's comes from the Yakutat. That was a shame story. You know?
It was printed in the newspaper in Juneau. And we still got that newspaper today. It's quite a story, you know.
Well, this is, I want to give you this so that you can correct it or help me with it. And this is the American Indian Religious Freedom Act.
Yes, we didn't even get into that.
We didn't even get into that. So
that's the most important one I wanted to be here.
Right, and what I wanted to talk to you, that's the act itself, and what I have here is a report that was put together talking about what federal agencies are supposed to do now about that act, but it's kind of it has all sorts of things in it, and it's mostly, most of the cases are from down south. But there's the historical overview, categorical actions under the act, recommendations, conclusion. This thing is really filled with all sorts of stuff, and it talks about peyote and different things that are involved with the Indians down south. It has all sorts of letters and documentation. But if you'd like to borrow it from me and look at it, that I don't have another copy of it, unfortunately, so this is my only copy.
Mm-hmm.
But these you can keep.
You better write down a public law 95-341 in case I fall somewhere and nobody knows where I got the book from.
Oh, okay, I could put down my name.
Yes?
Hi, John.
I'll let that folder.
Okay, great. Do you have any time? I'm almost done here.
Okay.
Okay, great. I can put my name on it.
She writes like my sister.
Left-hand?
I got a sister, yeah, she's a left-hander.
So if you want to take this, and you can take this too, you can keep these. And I will make copies of you.
To correct, but maybe next time
right,
I come back, I don't
right.
flood myself with too much.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would like to. Well, how about if I make copies of this and that newspaper article next time? Because you want a copy of that newspaper article,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
On
that
we 1929.
Where this guy, he claims to be the son or whatever it is to Conak East, that's Bernie's big Jim. That's, he's from Hoonah.
Who's that?
Henry Anderson.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, he's
you ever
from
come
Huna.
Across
Huna.
Him here?
Yes.
He's
a
lying
Indian.
He lied to get that land up there.
Oh, because he had testimony, his testimony was that he used this area through, you know, from time immemorial, it was in his family. And he was also claiming area, no, I can't remember now. It was somewhere in Echo Cove,
yeah,
maybe on this island.
I know the place. I think it's, let's see.
I think I have it.
It's in this area someplace. He built a little cabin in
right.
I know the.
But he's from
Hoonah.
He's from Hoonah.
He's the same tribe as Amos Wallace.
Uh-huh.
And what clan is he again?
Coguantan?
Coguantan. Yeah, that was something that was in that Goldschmidt and Haas too. This book. Okay. Well, talk.
I got a book that thick with people all kinds of telling lies.
Oh gosh, you'd be surprised what people can say.
Yeah, I'm hearing this. There's too many for me to correct, but now that we're back. And,
are you going to be back to stay in Juneau?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
So. I got lots to do. I'm helping my father's clan, and I got my own clan, because I hear the Alaskan River
I like
clan, Douglas.
But just quick, just off the record here, Gamble, he was my uncle, too.
Oh, is he related to Andrew Gamble?
Yes, Andrew Gamble.
Because I talked to Matilda Gamble, and she told me some stories about, and she said she didn't have the right to tell them, but since her husband had died, she wanted it to be preserved, that the Gambles used to use the area around Hawk Inlet, and they used to portage their canoes and come
That's
to
true.
Juneau
yeah.
Village
uh-huh. yeah.
in the wintertime
mm-hmm.
and spend the winters with their families there.
Mm-hmm.
I think Edward Gamble
married to us.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Edward Gamble that was her father's father? Andrew's father was Edward?
Mm-hmm.
Edward and Molly are the names that stick
I don't
in my
know
mind.
Them.
But that they used to spend their they would dry fish
mm-hmm.
In Hawk Inlet and then bring that portage over the isthmus there, bring it to Juneau, trade it to the city people who
mm-hmm.
didn't do that,
right.
and then sometimes the city people would come to them to Hawk Inlet. But you mentioned Gamble.
Yeah, Gamble. We used to have a place at the bar. But anyway, he told me. Portion of his place where he owns, he's going to give it to Herbert Martin. The old man, he's died already, I think. Did he die?
Yeah,
but
okay.
they have a lot of children.
Ah, yes, got a lot of children, though. Anyway, I saw Mr. Martin when he started this a log cabin. He didn't finish it. The logs went about 4 feet high, and then he had family trouble. He got in trouble with his wife. They're going to be divorced and so forth. But his mind was just upset. So he just kept letting it go. Later on...
And where was his claim?
Right at the bar on the other side. The one Edward Consoled it. Anyway...
on the mainland side?
On the Douglas Island.
Oh, Douglas
Island. It's on Douglas Island.
The bar,
anyway,
his bar here?
Right.
Anyway, in the meantime, this Charlie Johnson comes along, and he told Martin, you know, if he can get the permission to put the roof on his log cabin and convert it into a smokehouse. So, okay, Mr. Martin gives Charlie Johnson a permission. So Charlie Johnson used that for a smokehouse. Charlie Johnson is still alive today. See, I just want to bring this up just to let you know what's going on. Say, okay. Okay. We lived at Fish Creek at that time. My father owns Fish Creek, which he sold it himself. I had nothing to do with it. Sold it cheap, giving it away. And I had a boathouse myself there, and I built boats, repaired boats, and every 10 days I made a trip to Juneau to get supplies, hardware supplies, lumber, and so forth. I built lots of boats there. And back and forth, I know what's going on. Every time I go by, I see people live there. And Charlie Johnson is always there, smoking fish. One day, I saw old man Coons there, just one summer. And old man Gamble came to our place, visiting, you know. I built a round bottom boat for him. And he told me he gave $3 to Mr. Charlie Johnson so he could use his smokehouse. That's where Ellis Coons come in at, see? And he smoked fish there 1 year. Okay. Then pretty soon they all died off. Charlie Johnson doesn't go there. And you know, Coons come forward and he said that his father's place, his father built a log cabin, and his father this and that and all that. And then first thing I know, he sold it for $7,000. See how it went?
Oh.
It just went so fast. Mr. Coons, old man Coons, got nothing. The only place he claims was Eagle River. He's got 100, now Coons can come here and claim Eagle River. He's got 100%.
White man's
way. One's white man's way, that's his father's way.
No right.
And Tlingitway, he's got no right of whatsoever. He's got no right of no other places. I know old man Coons. He was real fat and lazy. He don't own nothing. But now they go around and they say my father's place, my father's place, and all. First thing they know, they got it. Boy. And Martin, after time he died, he didn't say a word because he's kind of a meek guy. He didn't want to speak on anything. He's always put his head down. He was a really nice person, but he's got a lot of kids left behind, lots of them. They're the one that should get that place instead of Coons. Just like
now, the Martins, if I remember correctly, their claims are mostly around Taiyi.
Yeah.
Harold Martin, Stella Martin, Lyle Martin. Lyle Martin?
Oh, you're talking about the cake. That woman comes from cake.
Oh, they're different Martins.
Stella Martin.
Well, that's Stella Martin. That's the same Martin, but her clan comes from cake.
Cake. Genuine cake people.
I see.
But anyway, we better see if she's better have her lunch. She's
I'm trying to get Cecilia. See, I wrote wrong all over her thing, and I might have had the pronunciation wrong. Kinedi clan would be the word that carved it.
The slaves. Kinedi?
The slaves of the Kinedi carved that marble, that thing.
Kinedi. Oh, that's
Kinedi.
With a K?
I don't know. That's why I'm trying to get this. I see it here. I see it here in all
territory. Tekwiti is like Bear Clan. They're like the Bear Clan from Angoon.
It's spelled the same. T E E D I.
Oh, Kleenady. Oh, okay. That's very different.
Okay.
That's dog salmon.
Right, that's me.
Okay.
I'm dog salmon.
Oh, you're dog salmon.
My emblem's dog salmon, raven, dipper.
Okay, okay. Now, the woman you said, Cecilia Coons, is Yakutat dog salmon.
She's cold.
Oh, she said she's cold.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what I'm trying to say here is I wrote wrong, but it wasn't done by that clan. It was ordered to be done. But maybe she got it. How would I say it? Our slaves done it for us, for the Kinedi clan.
Slaves done it for reportedly done for the Kinedi clan.
I'll erase my wrong. I wrote wrong because I didn't know how it's spelled.
Okay. You know? Well, that could just be a mistake that.
Well, she verified what I said on that then, huh?
After we change
first time.
It.
Erased yeah,
well, sometimes she tells the, okay. the right thing, you know.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Well, so it, you know, it looks like I have two copies of these. If you want to take this home and, you know, correct anything else. I didn't realize I had two copies of that.
Okay. When shall we bring the old lady?